This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you to the worship team. I will be bringing the word this morning. I just brought my jacket just to show you I have got a jacket. Somebody stopped me while I was having coffee 2 weeks ago, the back there. And the person came to me and said, is something wrong? I said, no. He says, but you're not smiling. And I said to him, I am smiling. So when you see me, I am smiling. It's a wonderful opportunity just to share the word of God again. Thank you to the leadership of this church for inviting me, for the invitation, for me and my wife. And we love just to be amongst the people of God. Thank you to the worship team. There is nothing like peer worship, I believe. It changes and charges the atmosphere for the word of God to be preached. In this atmosphere of worship, I can just sense that there is an anointing on the word of God. The Holy Spirit fills the atmosphere with the presence of God. And there is nothing like the presence of God in a place. When we experience the presence of God, it's so wonderful. So just close your eyes as we just pray together. Father God, how grateful we are for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your all-consuming love and compassion for us. Thank you that you are our strength and our refuge, an ever-present help in times of need. Help us to stand in faith, believing your word will work in our lives this morning. Help us not to put our hope and our trust in our knowledge and information, but in your covenant and in your word. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Our Eternal Hope. Our eternal hope. And it's all about the power of hope working in our lives. Of faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. But the rarest is hope. And I think that we desperately need hope preached to us almost every Sunday, because we are sitting in a hopeless situation in our country. Some people believe that, but I believe that where God is alive and where God is working, he can do miracles. We heard about the miracle this morning. We are called to be a community of hope. And you have been called in this community to be people of hope. In a world full of hopelessness and despair, I want to make a statement. When hope is introduced into the life of the believer, it is similar to light being used to dispel the darkness. May God enlighten our understanding this morning as we look at the powerful process of hope in our lives. Now, I'm going through a lot of scriptures. Bear with me. Go back. Go read the scriptures again, because what does the word say about hope? Scripture reading is from the King James Version, unless other scriptures, other translations are used. My first scripture, 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. When he shall appear, the coming of Jesus Christ, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love, wonderful scripture, the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we will know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There is a powerful expression that comes from this passage of Scripture. Every born-again believer can have complete confidence in their relationship with God. Amen. You may say amen. I believe it's appropriate to say amen when I speak the truth, and this is the truth. I'm going to repeat it then. There is a powerful expression that comes from this passage. Every born-again believer can have complete confidence in their relationship with God. Thank you. Confidence, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 28, comes from the hope that is in us as we walk in great godliness and holiness, waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who walked us, who called us by his own glory and goodness. We have already been blessed to walk in greater godliness. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, God has already given to us. Furthermore, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is a hope for every believer. Do you have hope to realize that Jesus Christ is coming back again? That is our hope. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is a hope for every believer of God, that neither death nor the difficulty of our journey in this world can keep us from uniting with him in the final work of our salvation. Your salvation is not just only for the here and now. God wants us to come to full understanding of the powerful process of hope in our lives. That's why I'm using many scriptures this morning. We dare not live without hope. We cannot go without hope and travel through this and journey through this life. The definition of hope. Hope is very simple: expectation. So our hope is an expectation, an anticipation. We're looking forward to something good that is coming. Something good is coming. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming back again. I can sense the excitement this morning of what it will be like when Jesus returns. That great excitement when Jesus returns. Hope is that passionate trust given to the believer that there is something beyond the grave, and only God brings eternal hope. There is something beyond the grave, and only God can bring eternal hope. So many philosophies that are prominent in our times seem to believe that all that is seen, all that is felt and attained in this life are the only avenues of success that man can enjoy. And that's not true. In fact, it has been implied that there is nothing beyond the here and now. There are so many people who believe that there is nothing beyond the here and now. And that's not true. Allow me to do a short illustration. I will ask my wife just to help me with that. So just a very simple, small illustration. No, you've got to do it. That's why you're my wife. Imagine this rope is going on forever. That part there. It's going on forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no end to the white part. Imagine that as it is going on forever, that this rope is a timeline of your existence. The little red part represents your time on earth. The little red part. You've got a few short years here on earth. Depends how old you are. And then you have all eternity somewhere else. From here, all eternity somewhere else. As it stands, people only think about the red part. In fact, they are consumed about the red part. We work, work, work. Save, save, save in order to enjoy this time here. They call it retirement. That's what we're working for. This is our time on earth. But there is eternity after retirement, after death, wherever it may be on this little red part. What I do during this little red part determines how I am going to exist for millions and millions of years into eternity. You see, that eternal hope. Now, why would I spend this little part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying life just for this, for the sake of enjoying it? And I'm not interested in this part. This is eternal life. So whatever I do during this part will determine where I will be. Whether good or bad, the decisions we make. So our salvation is not just for this. Our salvation, the fullness of our salvation, lies within the eternal life that is after life and death. You can understand that. It's a very simple little illustration. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, God has made everything beautiful in His time. He also has planted eternity. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. That means a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Only God can satisfy life after death. Only God. God is the author of eternal life. It is His idea and not the enemy's idea. Eternal life is God's idea and God's plan for you and for me. And that is the full course our salvation runs. The Amplified says it is a divinely implanted, I'll repeat it again, sense of a purpose. Do you sense a purpose that we're living for? We're living for the glory of our God. Yeah, we're living it right now, but we must also live for eternity. We cannot just live for the here and now and just work on the little red part. There is a life after the here and now. Through the ages, says the word, which nothing under the sun but God can satisfy. According to this scripture, we are not only living for the here and now, but we are living for eternity. And God has placed destiny in you and me, and that is to live forever and ever and ever and enjoy the fellowship that we will be enjoying with Him. God has placed purpose in your life and in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life, it's the word of God, it's there, I think, yeah. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Die Afrikaans sê, as ons net vir hierdie lewe ons hoop op Christus vestig, is ons die bejammeringswaardigste mense van alle mense. The worst misery of all would be given to those who believe there is nothing beyond the grave. But you and I, because we believe in Jesus Christ, because we believe he's coming back to fetch his bride, I believe that to us there is that hope this morning. It is an eternal hope, but it's also a powerful hope that we are confessing. It is a terrible thing to have all your hope locked up in a world of material things. It's terrible to have your whole world locked up in material things. Maybe I've said it last time that I preached there. We are not living for success, because success can be here today and tomorrow it's gone. We are living to be fruitful. And God is challenging us into a life of greater fruitfulness. It is a terrible thing to die without God. But God has given us that eternal hope. Hopelessness drives their misery. The people that are just living for this world, hopelessness drives their misery to even higher levels. Consider the grim way that Job paints it. Job praat die volgende. And he says, Job chapter 8, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand, and he shall hold fast, but it shall not endure." There is nothing in this world that can stand. Consider what the writer of Proverbs had to say. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." Proverbs chapter 10 verse 28. "But the expectation of the wicked shall perish." The wicked also have expectation, but it shall perish. But the expectation of the child of God is to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. These scriptures indicate that when hope is placed in empty and meaningless things, very little hope will come from it. From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it is understood that there is no hope without God in this world. And it's true. There is no hope without God in this world. Hope is in eternal, in material things, and in the covenant of the day, and in politicians and all that. People place their hope in those things. But we need to consider this morning, what am I confessing? What is the hope that I'm holding on to? But the writer of Hebrews writes the following. That's why I love the scriptures, why I'm going through so many scriptures, because it's the Bible that speaks louder than anything. It's the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 to 19. "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." The hope set before us. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Sure and steadfast. Nothing in this world is sure and steadfast, but unless we speak about the hope, the eternal hope, "and which entereth into that within the veil." Where does our hope come from? I've got, I think, six or seven pointers, but I'll go through them. Our hope is in our salvation. Romans 8 verse 23 to 25. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope." We are saved by hope. "But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it." waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. With patience, the believer has a salvation that as of yet the greatest part has not been experienced. The greatest part I showed you this morning. It is literally unrealized at this point that the full measure and benefit of our salvation, what that will be. I thank God. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We do not understand. We do not have an idea what God has prepared for us. And we need to, with patience, run the race. Hold on to what we believe. This eternal hope. Great blessing, great fellowship, great understanding, and great provision of God has been dropped into different places in our lives. Do you experience that? Great blessing. We experience great blessing even this morning. Great fellowship, great understanding, great provision. God is a provider. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. It's been dropped in our lives. But it has only been a foretaste of what God really has in store for us. This is just a foretaste. For the believer, the rapture or death, whatever comes first, I don't know. Death or the rapture, I don't know. It is a release from the bondage of this earth. Hope will become an encouraging reality when one embraces the thought that the next aspect in our relationship with God will be the greatest experience ever. The greatest, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Salvation is so much more than what we have experienced here in this life. So there is so much hope in our salvation. Hope in our salvation. Secondly, our hope comes to us as a gracious gift from God. The Bible gives a great stimulus for us to give our minds towards the hope that is before us. Our hope is in God who is unchanging. Psalm 24 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Waarom is jy onrustig in my siel? Hoop, plaas jou hoop in God. We will give into much despair when we feel as if everything is taking a downturn. But the psalmist very clearly stresses to us the importance of hoping in God. Our confidence must rest in God. Psalm 78 verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 2 verse 16. Now our God Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Good hope comes through grace. It's a gracious gift from God. That we can have hope this morning. It's a gracious gift from God. It's a gift. You don't work for it. You cannot deserve it. You can own it. I think own it. Is that right? Yeah. Thirdly, our hope comes from the scriptures, from the word of God. That's why I'm using all these scriptures this morning. You may say, why all the scriptures? Because I want to show you that hope comes from the word of God. It's not my word. It's the word of God. Romans 15 verse 4. For whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Comfort and patience and scriptures and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Psalm 119 verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Psalm 119 verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I have placed, says the psalmist, I have placed my hope in thy word. Your hope can be strengthened by knowing the word and understanding the word of God. As you read the word of God, there are so many scriptures that bring hope to those who are feeling hopeless, who are feeling discouraged, who are feeling the despair that is in the air. Faithful reliance on scripture will take your hope to another level. Amen. Faithful reliance on scripture will take your hope to another level. The devil is very aware of this hope in the word. He is aware of this hope in the word. And this is why the seed of the word is always under fire from the wayside, the thorns, the birds, and the rocky soil. You can go and read in Matthew chapter 13. Read the whole chapter. First Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People will ask you, how can you have hope in a hopeless situation? Because the word of God says, because the word of God says. And the enemy will come. He came to Jesus and said, I will give you this and this and this. And Jesus said, it is written. Satan, I'm telling you, it is written. Dit is geskrywe. Our hope, fourthly, comes from the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes this hope reality for every believer. In fact, it is a living hope which Peter expressed. 1 Peter 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given me us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death has no power. We sang it this morning. Death has no power on us because death has been defeated. Amen. Death has been defeated. Let's give God a praise offering this morning. Death has been defeated. The open grave is our guarantee of hope. The open grave, die oop graf. Dis ons waarborg hoekom ons kan en mag hoop hê. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we have no hope at all. But he rose from the dead. And he conquered death. Peter kept those thoughts in his heart and would use them later when he was preaching in Acts chapter 13. I'm not going to read that. You can go and read that at home. Read Acts chapter 13. To the child of God, no matter what stone the hand of death throws at him, no matter what comes our way, in an attempt to bring him down, death has already been defeated. The sting has been destroyed and death has been defeated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Note what hope prevails from the words of Jesus in John 11. Jesus saying, John 11, verse 25 to 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. At the resurrection of Jesus, our salvation was established. We have the hope as our confidence. Number 5, our hope is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Once a person has received the Spirit, there are a multitude of things that will happen within one's life. There will be a spiritual growth that it is stimulated by the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the aspects of spiritual growth is the abiding of hope. Want a scripture for that? Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. What wonderful scripture. Die woord van God is so ryk. The Bible, the word of God is so rich. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives a somewhat abbreviated treatment to the Christian armor, the weapons of our warfare, and he says, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, but let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation, the hope of our eternal salvation. He's explaining the necessity of the helmet of hope as we stir up the hope with great conviction, thereby giving us the ability to live above discouragement. Hope gives us the ability to live above discouragement. As a believer of God, there are attacks that will come into our lives. And we all face many attacks. The battle will come at many angles, and one of the angles the devil uses is doubt. The enemy knows what is the counterfeit that he is bringing. Where there is no hope, there is doubt. There is unbelief. Doubt can be very fierce in its approach. It will attack you. It will destroy you unless you deal with that doubt. And doubt can only be replaced by hope. And hope comes from the Word of God. The helmet of hope defends against the thing called doubt. Because our hope is in the Lord, all of these doubts can be defeated through the process of hope. Number 6. Bear with me. This is so important that we share the Word of God. Our hope is strengthened and confirmed through trials. Our hope is strengthened, not destroyed, strengthened and confirmed through trials. Over and over, the Psalms encourages hope in the Word, which plants hope in the heart. Furthermore, good theology will always indicate that our hope is actually confirmed when we are in the midst of trials. Your hope will be tested. Your faith will be tested. Your love will be tested when you are going through trials. The simple act of walking through it daily, on a daily basis, adds to our faith. But when the trial has been completed and we look backwards over the back trail, it is with much understanding that the grace of God was present at all times. When we look back, today it's a trial. It's difficult. Almost destroyed us. But when we look back, the grace of God was present at all times. And it will be the same for you today and for tomorrow. This is not diminishing the effect of encouragement. And we always welcome encouragement that comes from our brothers and sisters. Because that too will help us to become stronger. Romans 8 verse 38. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you to the worship team for that. If God is for us, who can be against us? In the following passage, note that all that Paul went through, he went through a lot of difficult situations. But the trials actually confirmed his hope. And you can read it. Romans 8 verse 35, verse 239. You can go and read it. Lastly, our hope removes the fear of death. We should have, as believers, we should not have fear of death. How can you overcome a man who does not fear death? If I do not fear death, how can anybody overcome me? And you for the same. All death can do to a born again believer is to release him into the presence of God. Wonderful. I'm not asking for death to come, but when it comes, through the hope I confess, the eternal hope I confess, I have confidence that his full plan of salvation has worked itself out in my life. All death can do to a born believer is to release him into the presence of God. Death actually places the believer in the greatest place of glory. Amen? Wonderful. We should not fear death because of our hope in the Lord. We should not fear death. This hope removes the sting of death as we are already victorious before ever getting to the place of the battle. We are already victorious. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. It's laid up for you in heaven. There is something laid up for you in heaven. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? There is a hope laid up for us in heaven. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23 to 27. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. And then he goes on and he says, to whom God would make known what the riches of his of the glory of his mysterious of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In my conclusion, a hope is an anchor. This hope, the writer of the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says, this hope is an anchor of the soul. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we would have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The anchor of hope makes us stand firm and secure. All of our hope will be fulfilled when Jesus comes. All of our hope. Because then there is nothing more. The world ends. It is only when he returns that we will have the full benefit of our hope. Just have some water. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We have looked at the power of hope. And I spent quite a number of scriptures while bringing this word. We have looked at the power of hope in the life of a believer, but maybe there are those who sit here this morning and you have no grounds for hope because of your circumstances. Let's be real. This is the word of God. Wonderful. But there are those who are right now, you have no grounds for hope because of your circumstances. Maybe you sit here this morning and you have no grounds for hope. You have no longer have grounds for hope for your children to be saved. You no longer have grounds for hope for your marriage. It's not going well. You no longer have grounds for hope for your business. You no longer have grounds for hope for your financial crisis. We are real people. And when we serve and preach the word of God from here, we know and understand what people are going through. No use I preach there and the people are living here. The word of God will take the people to where the word is. But from there, we have the hope that God will change our circumstances. You no longer have hope or grounds for the battle inside your mind. Sometimes you see somebody in a wheelchair and you know that they are physically crippled people. But there are so many emotionally crippled walking around in society. You don't know about them, but they need hope. Are you ready to tell them about this hope? You no longer have grounds for hope for your healing. People are going through very difficult seasons in terms of their healing, battling with infirmities. But there's a scripture in Romans 4 verse 18. It's such a beautiful scripture. It's all about Abram. You can go and read about Abram and Sarah and all the promises that were made. Abram in hope. Scripture says, and I'm going to read it just now again, Romans 4 verse 18, against all hope. That's what the Bible says. Against all hope. Looks like there is no ground for any hope in your circumstance. Against all hope, Abram in hope believed. He placed against all hope. He placed his hope in hope again. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And so became the power of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. This verse is especially for those who are battling in their circumstances this morning. Against all hope, there are no grounds for hope. That's what you believe. But I want to encourage you, don't let go of the hope that you have in the Word of God and in the promises of God. The level of impossibility seems so very high, and you feel that I'm not going to make it, but Abram hoped anyway. His faith did not weaken. He did not waver through unbelief. Verse 20. But was fully persuaded, verse 21, that God had the power to do what he has promised. How God has got the power to do what he has promised. I'm going to read those scriptures because it's so, just receive it into your heart this morning. Romans 4 verse 18, against all hope, Abram in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Romans 4 verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and God said, you will have a son, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he has promised. And this is what it means to be locked up in hope. When the only thing you've got to believe in is hope itself. We have not been called to become prisoners of fear and intimidation and hopelessness and despair and discouragement. We are called to be prisoners of hope. Locked up in hope. Abraham stopped just short of saying, this is completely hopeless. He thought it and believed it, but he did not say it. He put hope in hope itself. This is what I'm saying, what I'm bringing over this morning. Put hope in hope itself. And this earned Abram his commendation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Abram, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father of, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Deep down in his heart, Abram said, my expectation comes from the one who has promised. The word said this morning, God can never lie. He cannot lie. He is truth. He cannot lie. But you need to come to a point being fully persuaded that he who has promised, and he has made promises concerning you, will do what he has promised. My challenge to you this morning, I want to challenge you to leave the thoughts and feelings of hopelessness behind. I want to remind you that hopelessness does not come from God. God is the author of hope. If you are facing hopelessness, you may not have really discovered the hope that is found in God's love for you through Jesus Christ. Reject hopelessness and despair and seek out God's plan and his hopes for you. His plan and his hopes for you. Seek it out. Ask God. Pray. Jeremiah 33 verse says, pray to me and I will answer you, and I will show you things you do not know, things you do not understand. There is a level of understanding that needs to come to us concerning the plans of God for our lives. God will not reward the casual inquirer, but he will reward the diligent seeker. If you seek God, pray to me, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and I will answer you, and I will show you things you do not know. Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Those are not plans to destroy you or to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. God's plan for your life is to give you a hope and a future. There are people this morning that just need a confirmation that the God who promised is the God who is present here right now. For a moment, just close your eyes and just consider your own situation. Where are you in terms of the word this morning? What are you confessing? Love the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask my wife, Deline, just to pray a prayer. And we're not going to ask people to stand and to identify yourself. You know. God knows your heart. God knows your fears. God knows your unbelief. But through one prayer, your life can be changed.
Let's just reach out to the Lord. Father, thank you that right now, Lord, we can come and break the power of discouragement, of hopelessness, of despair, and of doubt. We declare a divorce, Father, with all doubt and unbelief and discouragement and despair and confusion. And in the name of Jesus, we ask that all confusion would lift. Father, thank you that you raise up again the promises that you gave in the specific situations. That we stir up the promise of God inside of us. That we choose right now, Father, to place our hope in hope. That we welcome hope. Ons begroet dit, Here. We lift our heads towards the hope and a sure future. Jesus, you said that in this world we will have many problems, but that we are to be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. And this morning, Lord, we take hold of an overcoming spirit and a conquering spirit as we enter into praise now. Amen.
I've asked the worship team to lead us in a song, Raise a Hallelujah. The words of that song is what we were sharing this morning. But make a quality decision to worship yourself out of doubt and out of your discouragement. There is power in the fact that we are worshiping God. God can just change the atmosphere of your life. His presence is here. You don't need to go anywhere else. You can find solution for your situation here this morning. And as we sing this song, in the midst of our enemy, David says, in the midst of my enemy, God still prepares a table of good things for those who love Him. And God has prepared something good. When this song, they prepared it. When we sing the song, just worship yourself out of discouragement. Take hold of the hope that was preached this morning. And God, who is able to do far above what we pray or think, He will reveal Himself to you. Use this time. Thank you for the worship team in preparing that song.
Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, heaven comes to fight for me.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.